Lowe's has the brands pros trust to get the job done. You can now shop new Catalyst fencing solutions and save big when you do. 10% off when you buy in bulk. Plus, save $180 on a DeWalt 12-inch dual bevel sliding compound miter saw. Now just $449. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 5/6 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
And welcome into Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Marquise Munson taking you through this Thursday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Fellas, how we doing? What's going on?
So we might have a World Series, huh?
Maybe so. Maybe so.
Is Munson all right with that?
I don't know.
1-1. No.
You're not okay with that.
No. I had a realization yesterday that the Dodgers bullpen is basically just the Lakers bench.
Wow.
In disguise. And Dustin May is basically Kyle Kuzma with hair.
So it's something for you to get mad about, but it won't cost you a championship. Probably.
Pretty much, yeah. But I can get mad at the time.
Yeah, it's good to be able to get mad at
Look, that bullpen, that was awful last night. It was like every inning was like a different pitcher, and they all sucked. Like that's the takeaway from that game. Different pitchers, all of them was trash.
Different pitcher, same result.
Exactly. And it was just awful to watch. And then like Florio's actually like he was actually pitching pretty well. And Dave Roberts is like
Mike?
Yeah.
Mike Florio?
No, not Mike Florio. Okay. Not Mike Florio. He's worried
talked about him a lot lately.
Yeah, he's worried about the Titans right now. But no, this is like Florio comes out there, he pitches pretty good. He got two outs. Dave Roberts is like, "Nope, get out. Time to get somebody else in here." Then you got Dustin May, the Kyle Kuzma of the Dodgers, who is a guy who gets all this playing time in the world, and he has no results for it whatsoever. So he's basically Kyle Kuzma. That's the true definition of Kyle Kuzma. And then you get Joe Kelly, who I don't know why, Dodgers fans, you keep supporting this guy like he's just some cult hero. He's not. He sucks. He can't pitch either. So just this is awful. It's just awful. Take me to Friday with Walker Buehler. I trust Walker Buehler.
For good reason.
Yeah. Last night made me realize how much I miss Rich Hill.
Wow.
Who's old is dirt, but he's
old. I don't think I'd ever hear you say that.
Yeah, I miss Rich Hill, man. Rich Hill was old reliable. I saw Rich Hill as a starting pitcher for the Dodgers, I knew I was going to be able to sleep at night.
You were in good hands.
Yeah, I knew I was in good hands, like State Farm.
Wow.
Well, but, yeah. I'm glad we got a series, hopefully.
No.
Looks like it.
Let's not.
Get a little entertaining baseball. Let's go 6 or 7 here.
No.
Your Dodgers can win.
How about Dodgers in 5? How about that?
Well, that could happen.
If you guys haven't noticed, I'm trying to like rush through these championships.
I know.
Like, I'm trying to like go ahead and get them out so we
you
I
just
can
savor
and,
it.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Phyllis Pratt of Venice, Florida, my 92-year-old grandma, the Rays are her second team, so I'm with her all the way.
Okay.
I know she had a good night last night.
I respect that.
Look, I respect that, Joe, and I hope your grandma will get a championship in 2021. Nah, I hope.
It won't be a Detroit Tigers championship.
It won't be.
Is that your called shot for the week? You're just going to go ahead and throw that out there that Detroit Tigers not winning in 2021?
I could do that.
Okay.
I would feel good about that one.
We're going to be joined by Titans offensive tackle Dennis Kelly here in about 7 minutes or so. Looking forward to that. A little early morning Dennis Kelly chat.
Yeah. I like it. So – I don't know if is that like on the way in maybe to the facility. You know, I don't know.
Do these
exactly
guys ever
the
sleep?
Yeah, you know. Hopefully they go to bed early, like we do. Because yeah, I know they've got early days and long days. So, but it'll be great. Dennis Kelly's always good to talk to, and a lot to talk to him about. I mean, that this offensive line, this matchup this week, it's going to be really interesting against the Steelers.
Sure is, and some good news yesterday for the Tennessee Titans. Adoree Jackson designated to return off of the injured reserve list, which essentially means he can practice now with the team. There's a 3-week window where they've got him there to practice, and they can take him back and activate him at any point during that time. Joe, obviously good news for the Titans. What do you make of the way Adoree Jackson looks right now?
Yeah, I mean, I went out there yesterday, got a really excellent video. I think it was about 12 seconds long of him in a drill, but watched him pretty much for the whole time that we were allowed to watch practice, and nothing on a knee, running great, looks good. I think Mike Vrabel made the point yesterday that one thing they're definitely looking for is how he responds today after, you know, after practicing for that first time. So that will be interesting, and how that goes will have something to do with it. But, I mean, at this point, I would guess that he would be out there Sunday. Not knowing for sure. And there is also some other guys right now. Clowney was not out there. Knee listed on the injury report, and he's been on that report a few times with a knee listed. Jonnu Smith and Daquan Jones, both guys dealing with stuff too, who right now are not 100%, we're not full participants. So some other guys to figure out this week. But, yeah, I would think of Dory right now. If I had to make a guess, it would be that he would play Sunday.
Which, that could be huge news for the Titans. And we had Floyd Reese on earlier in the week talking about, okay, you know, the defense while he's out, I don't know how much better it can get, just because there's not a lot of speed there in the secondary, and there's not a lot of guys that can run with some of these faster receivers that we've seen. Getting a Dory back in there athletically, I mean, he can match up with just about any receiver in the league. I mean, there are a couple guys that just it's going to be hard to match up with no matter who you are, but a Dory Jackson athletically, he matches up pretty well with just about everybody in the league from a physical standpoint.
Yeah, and obviously Chase Claypool's been the big story here for the Steelers, the rookie. You know, Juju Smith-Schuster has not, and he's on the injury report too, by the way, with a knee, and he certainly has not had the kind of start to this season, you know, that people expected, including fantasy owners.
Yes.
who will go unnamed. But still, a talented guy. So if he's out there, yeah, this is a – Steelers have that tremendous defense and pass rush. They also have a lot of speed at that position. So Adoree is not going to fix the pass rush, but he would still help the defense a lot.
Yeah, and then you go back to the other side of the ball, that interesting matchup between the Titans offense and the Steelers defense. Joe, you listed off the numbers yesterday for the Steelers defensively. They're basically first or second in pretty much every category around the league, which is impressive this far into the season. And the Titans, we know how good their offense has been. Going to be a great matchup on Sunday from that perspective.
Yeah, it's and of course, you know, again, we're going to have Dennis Kelly here in a minute. You got Tyson Brailo. He's going to be available today to media, too, to talk. And, you know, I think it's clear. It will be Kelly at right tackle, as he's been all year. It will be Sombrailo at left tackle. And then moving forward, we'll see how it goes. I mean, I think development of depth is going to be huge there. But big moment for Sombrailo to get the full game. And on both sides, you talk about T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree. I can't think of many teams who are scarier on both sides, you know, in terms of edge rushers than the Steelers with those two guys, and they're very good inside. You know, Cam Hayward, Stephon Tuitt, I mean, it's a big-time challenge, not only for the offensive line, but I also think for Arthur Smith, too. He's going to have to scheme up some stuff to help those guys.
And it's going to be a lot of fun to watch, and to help us talk a little bit more about that, we're going to have Titans offensive tackle Dennis Kelly join us in the next segment. That's next. This is Robbie and Rexroad on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Talking the big Titans matchup against the Steelers on Sunday. And to help us do that, we are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Titans offensive tackle Dennis Kelly. Dennis, what's going on, man? How you doing?
How much? How you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Great to have you here. And Dennis, I'm going to start. How much fun has it been so far for you and this offensive line to watch how dominant the offensive side of the ball has been? I mean, you guys have been lighting it up on the scoreboard every week.
Yeah, I definitely think it's been fun. It's a cool thing to be a part of. You know, we have this feeling that we can score whatever we want to. So I think that is it's a cool thing to be a part of, and, you know, hopefully we just continue to build off of it.
Dennis, obviously, you know, terrible news for Taylor Lewan, and I know all you guys in that room who are close with him. He seems to be handling it well with his normal sense of humor this week, but how tough is that, you know, for you guys, and what has been the discussion about, you know, kind of rallying around him and then also, you know, replacing him moving forward here?
Yeah, it obviously it sucks. You know, Taylor's such a great player, great leader for us. You know, you can't really replace a player like that. And so, you know, we just come together. Our room is really, really close. Like you mentioned, I think it's a really special group. And I think everyone kind of has the same mindset where, while it's unfortunate that Taylor's not, you know, going to be able to play with us for a while, you know, we got to keep rolling. And so I think the whole next man up mentality, is pretty evident where guys are just like, okay, well, this is what we have to do. This is the situation that we have. So there's no reason to be upset about it or to be worried about it. This is what we just have to handle.
So, Dennis, how much confidence do you have in the offensive line, even without Taylor Lewan, that you guys can come in and kind of pick up where you've been playing and continue to move forward here offensively?
Yeah, no, I feel like our confidence is still pretty high. We have a lot of guys in that room that have played a lot of football, a lot of guys that know what to do and are ready for their opportunity when they get it. So I'm not concerned that, you know, there's going to be a huge drop-off. Like I said, like obviously Taylor's a great player, and you can't really replace him. But at the same time, I still think that we should be able to do what we want to do.
So Tyson Brilo has actually been in, you know, quite a bit this year. Taylor's had some other injuries previously where he had to leave games. So we've seen quite a bit of him out there. What, from your perspective, what have you seen from Ty? Do you think he's ready to jump into this role? And then also, obviously, then you think of the rookie Isaiah Wilson kind of coming up and moving up a peg here and needing to get ready. How has he responded the past few weeks? And what about his readiness moving forward to possibly contribute?
Yeah, you obviously, you know, Ty has played a bit this year already. So it's not like it's going to be anything crazy. He's come in and done a great job of handling the kind of the sudden change aspect of it, of having to come in off the bench. You know, he's played a lot of football. He's played a lot of different positions, so it's nothing new for him. And, you know, and Isaiah, obviously, we've had a couple unique weeks the last couple weeks, and so, you know, trying to get back into this normal routine of a normal game week with a normal amount of time between games, I think should be good for him.
Titans offensive tackle Dennis Kelly on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Dennis, I'm curious, what's it like to block for a guy like Derrick Henry, who, you know, like literally at any second could pop the big play and change the game on a dime?
Yeah, no, it's definitely a fun thing, a cool thing to be on that side of the ball with him. You know, it's one of the things I kind of not find enjoyment out of, but kind of find interesting is during the game you can hear defenders like kind of moan and groan after they have to tackle him. Like there's a mindset even on the defense versus like, damn, that guy's big, or damn, he hits them more than they hit him, and you can tell it starts to wear on him. And I do think that mentality-wise, that plays a big part in to a lot of his success.
And then what you guys get pinned deep, and it's like exciting for you. You're like, oh, all right, got a chance for Derek to go 95 here, right? On those plays, Dennis, obviously you're working hard, but you know, on any of these long plays, have you had a chance at any point to sort of be like, okay, now I can just sort of watch this and enjoy it now that he's like 20, 30 yards ahead of me?
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. Like, once he gets, you know, 20, 30 yards away from me, I'm not catching him because no one else can catch him on the defense. So there is a point to watch how he separates from defenders. And I mentioned earlier this week just how it's really fascinating how it doesn't look on the field. It doesn't look like he's running really hard, but he just continuously pulls away from linebackers, defensive linemen, and then DBs as well. So like clearly he's running faster than them. And he does a great job of understanding angles and everything like that. So it is really cool to be able to, on a big play like that, to be able to kind of see him go to work.
Titans offensive tackle Dennis Kelly on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Dennis, a lot of fans on social media, they're making a big deal about Mike Vrabel and the too many men on the field thing, maybe doing that on purpose on Sunday. If that's the case, it's one of the most genius things I've ever seen in the history of football, to save about 40 seconds there. But even with that aside, like being around Mike Vrabel and watching what he does, how would you describe like his football IQ level and just the acumen he has for the game?
You know, it's definitely his football IQ is one of the best that I've been around. And I think it's just very aware of every situation. It's very focused on making sure that you are aware of every situation. You know, it's kind of a whole team thing where we go over any type of possible situation to see in a way to help us win. And I think you kind of see that with the offense handling situational football pretty well so far this year. We go over it so much and so often that it does kind of become second nature. And when, you look back at the Patriots game last year and, you know, that whole the back and forth between him and Belichick, like there's a point where even guys on the sideline, it's like, oh, is this going to be, are we going to try something here? Are we going to do this? Are we going to do that? I think he does a great job of building the awareness for everyone in that building.
So I know at that moment, Dennis, you guys are getting ready to, you know, to go back on the field knowing you're going to need like points in that game. So maybe you weren't, you know, paying attention to what's going on, but did you, in the moment, did you have any idea what was going on there with the too many men?
I didn't, because we were just getting done kind of doing our own like review on the sideline. So, saw that we got the penalty, but wasn't into the situation as much to fully understand what was going on at the time. So, obviously it worked out great for us. Saved us some time, and you know, we were able to win because of it.
So then you guys come back out, and I know it's just sitting there in the press box. I think most people, they're like, okay, well, they're just going to go down the field and score, and you guys did, and it's happened a lot this year. What is that confidence level in those moments and in Ryan Tannehill to make the right plays and for all the different guys catching passes to make big plays too?
Yeah, I think it kind of goes back to what I said, where we've practiced situational football so much that it's not anything crazy for us. We get into the huddle, everyone is unaware of the situation, and so I think everyone has it, and Ryan does a great job of bringing the leader and coming into that huddle and demanding everything from everyone in that huddle. And I think, obviously, the more and more we do it during the year, the more and more the confidence is going to get bigger, because we've done it for the five games, and we've scored when we needed to, and so there's that built-up confidence of, if we need to go do something, we know we can, so let's just go do it.
So, Dennis, obviously you're a guy that's played both left tackle and right tackle, and not every tackle, obviously, in the league is able to do that and have the skill set to have the versatility to play both left and right. What goes into that, and why do you think you've been able to do that so well in your career?
It can be challenging for some guys, especially if you play on one side for an extended period of time, because you just start building that muscle memory and you start building that comfort level on either side. So when I was younger, when I was in Philly, I was to a point where I was just taking reps at everything I could. So if I was able to get left tackle reps, I'd take it. If I was able to get right tackle reps, I would take it. Guard, anything. It was one of those things where if I wanted to play, and I wanted to show them that, like, if anybody were to go down, that they could trust me. So I just tried to take every single rep that I could, and it kind of built this, I don't want to say mentality, because it was just one of those things where every day I was working on making sure I was taking care of both left and right side. I wasn't trying to, you know, make sure I was great on one side and be like, well, let's just hope I don't have to go to the other side. I didn't want to have to come in and have the game plan be changed or affected in any way to kind of handcuff our offense. And so I tried to take a lot of pride in making sure there was as minimal of a drop-off as there could be.
So, Dennis, I'm sure you've seen a lot of Steelers film by now, a lot of T.J. Watt, Bud Dupree in particular. How good are those guys? How good is this defense? What's the key this week to giving Ryan Tannehill time to throw?
Yeah, no, they that defense is it's a very talented, very physical, very hard playing defense, and it's definitely going to be a challenge for us, because that's how we take pride in ourselves, especially as an offensive line, of being you know, having great work ethic, being very physical, bringing the fight to you. And so I do think it's gonna really be like a strength for strength. And, you know, we just have to, you know, kind of not get intimidated by the fact that it's, you know, it's a Pittsburgh Steelers defense. It's a, you know, the classical steel curtain. It's this, you know, they're just coming after you nonstop. You know, we need to kind of stand up against them and take the fight to them.
Okay, so I know you mentioned this, Dennis, but tell me the story again on you and Ben Jones actually were living together for a while. How did that all come about? What was that like?
Mm-hmm. So it's with everything going on with COVID, my mother-in-law is high risk, and she came in and asked her to help my wife with the three kids while I was at camp, and they were doing some like a type of school. And so Ben and I got a townhouse to keep our family safe, so because we weren't entirely sure how everything was going to go, how the protocols were going to go, and just wanted to make sure we kept everyone safe. It timed out that my mother-in-law had some doctor's appointments, so she had to go back to where she lives, and so I used that time to come by and be able to see my family. Well, that was about 4 days before the outbreak hit, and so when I woke up to the notification saying we can't go into the building, we've had some cases, it was to the point where I was like, well, if I have it, my wife has it. And so I then quarantined in my house on the chance that if we were to have it, that we would have to parent the three little kids together instead of just making her struggle through COVID and having to parent the three kids. So it was kind of bad timing on my part, but you know, having Ben as a roommate is always it's fun. You know, he's such a unique guy and he's such a fun guy with everything that he is. He's, I mean, you guys know how he is. He's just a very fun loving guy. And so, you know, when we are staying together, it's, you know, nothing too crazy or anything like that. But we'll come in and watch dinner, watch a show, and then probably I'll just go up to our rooms and watch film and go to bed.
Who's better at doing the dishes?
Yeah, we don't do any dishes. We'll bring food from the facility.
Nice, good plan.
Very nice, Dennis. Last thing for you here. Big Ten scheduled to return to play football this weekend. What do you make of Purdue and the job that Jeff Brohm has done there with Purdue?
Yeah, you know, it's very exciting. Glad for the kids to get a chance to play. You know, I think he's done a great job. You know, obviously there are some dark times for Purdue few years back, and so Brohm's brought an attitude and a mentality, kind of what I mentioned with us, where they can play with anyone and they can beat anyone. And you know, it got to the point where I was just asking for Purdue to be competitive in games, and now you know I'm hoping they're winning and expecting them to win. And so you know, just that mentality alone is clearly a sign of things going in the right direction. You know, he's done a great job getting some really talented players, and
Titans offensive tackle Dennis Kelly has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex. Hey, Dennis, great stuff, man. We appreciate you taking time to join us. Good luck on Sunday.
Thanks, guys. Have a great one.
Thanks,
absolutely.
Dennis.
You too. Great stuff there from Titans offensive tackle Dennis Kelly, breaking down what's going to be a very fascinating matchup against the Steelers on Sunday. We're going to talk more about that matchup on the other side of the break here on Robbie and Rex Road. But before we do that, Joe, you've got a word from FanDuel.
I do. Got a Joe Rex Road stamp of approval on FanDuel and the FanDuel Sportsbook, because sports betting is almost here in Tennessee. And users are getting free $50 in free bets just for signing up. $50 of free site credit to register and verify early. No deposit required for the number one sports betting site in America. It's that for a reason. They got odds on all the biggest sports. They got a simple, intuitive app that makes it easy to find the bet you're looking for and lock it in. Lots of games on there. It's easy enough for me to figure out quickly and play, and it's a lot of fun. And unlike other sports books, when you win, FanDuel gets your cash in as little as 24 hours because it's the right thing to do. Right thing for you to do, download the FanDuel Sports app. Check out their app for yourself. When you sign up, register, use promo code Joe, J-O-E, so they know we sent you. You verify your account, $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. Promo code Joe, $50 in site credit. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit non-withdrawable. Expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 800-889-9789.
We'll be right back on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5, The Game.
A lot of talk goes into their running game, but you know, their passing game has been surprisingly consistent this year. Is this the most overall consistent offense that you think you'll be facing this season?
Well, I just think they're a complete team. I don't know if they're the most consistent. I mean, you know, I don't know if they're better than teams we've played, but when I look at them, I can say that, you know, they have a stout running game, a hard-hitting running game that finishes plays. Then they have a passing game between Tannehill and A.J. Brown and Jonnu Smith. Those guys do a really good job of just going downfield. And then you have that with a stifling defense as well, and some emerging players. So, you know, that recipe puts you in a good lead, and we got our work cut out for this week.
That was Cam Hayward from the Pittsburgh Steelers looking ahead to the matchup against the Titans on Sunday. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Appreciate Dennis Kelly, Titans offensive tackle, for taking time to join us in the last segment. And, Joe, it is interesting when you look at the Titans offense going up against that defense. First off, the continued questions that some of these guys get about the surprising passing offense.
Right, they can actually, like, throw the ball. Are you shocked?
At what point is it not surprising anymore? Like, does Tannehill have to get 35 games deep with the Titans for it to not be surprising anymore? That's funny to me.
Yeah, it's the combination of probably the view of the Titans, which is, you know, over a long period of time, a lot of more of a, like, a running defensive kind of franchise, I guess. But then also, yeah, the Tannehill thing, just – so they actually can throw the ball. This Tannehill guy.
I'm shocked they can throw it down the field.
Are you surprised by this? It's like, I mean, man, yeah. How long do you have to go to do something before people realize that that's what you do? I guess we're finding out right now. Still a little bit longer, guys.
Just keep going.
Still a little bit longer.
Just fascinating when I heard that. They can surprisingly throw the ball, and their running game is stout. Yes, that's one way to describe the running game, stout.
Yeah.
It's very good. It was interesting hearing Dennis Kelly talk about, like, what it's like watching Derrick Henry just run away from people. I mean, he's this huge guy, and you hear the defense just kind of whining and complaining about trying to tackle that dude, and then all of a sudden he just pulls away from you. You can't catch him.
That's
a freaky combination.
Yeah, the groans and the moans of the guys who keep having to tackle him, and that's kind of the thing. The whole is Henry getting punished or is he delivering punishment? I mean, there's still obviously – guy carries the ball 30 times. I'm sure he's got some bruises the next day, right? But he is more of a giver than a taker on that. And then, of course, they'll just rip off a 90-yarder.
So we heard, you know, Dennis Kelly talk about the offensive line without Taylor Lewan. Obviously, that's going to be a big talking point, not only in this game, but for the remainder of this season. You're going up against the Steelers defense. It's very talented, very good, really on all aspects of their defense. I mean, we've talked about their front seven and how good that is. Their secondary, very good as well. So not really any weakness on this Pittsburgh defense. If you're the Titans and if you're Arthur Smith offensively, what's the game plan that you think gives you the best chance of success against a team like the Steelers and a defense like the Steelers?
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. I got all excited yesterday at practice, standing next to TD. We're both sitting there taking video and stuff, and I mean, TD's already just all over this matchup, and we were just talking about all the different things, you know, the Titans can do in this game, because they're going to have to. I mean, this is a really big week for Arthur Smith, because you just can't go in and say, let's block him up and let's go. I mean, I think you've got to, like we've talked about, you've got elite guys on both sides. Now you just lost your Pro Bowl caliber left tackle, and so right there you have a problem. And then you also – those interior guys are going to be tested. You know, Stephon Tuitt, I mean, Cam Hayward, we just listened to him. The guys, I mean, those guys are tough. And so you've got to, I think, do some things. This is not as extreme as 2 years ago, but it does remind me of that. So this is the second game in three games that reminds me of 2018 against Houston. That was, of course, you know, Conklin and Lewan out. That was Tyler Maritz and Kevin Pamphile, I believe, at tackle. Blaine Gabbert at quarterback.
Kelly was out too.
That's right. So that's exactly right. You're right. So it was their fourth and fifth tackles. Yeah, Dennis Kelly would have started certainly in that game. That's right. So Dennis Kelly was out too. Thank you. I knew I was forgetting something about that. So yeah, your tackles 4 and 5 in that game against, at the time, J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney, Whitney Mercilus, all of them healthy and playing. So it was just like, what, you know, you look at that game and you're like, what are they going to do? This is not that extreme. Dennis Kelly's played well, and Tyson Brailo has played well too. I think overall, you know, everybody's going to look at the J.J. Watt thing the other day, but that'll happen to a lot of people too. But that's the thing. This is now, okay, you got to help him, or who are you helping? How much are you helping? How much max protection are you going? How much quick hitting, passing stuff are you doing? I would think quite a bit. I would think the screen game. The Steelers blitz too. I mean, they're a blitz team to go with the fact that they can get that four-man rush. I mean, they are aggressive. So how do you use that against them? I think getting the ball quickly into A.J. Brown's hands, into Jonnu Smith's hands if he plays, into Adam Humphrey's hands. I mean, to me, it's got to be a lot of that, a lot of get the ball right out.
It does, and Pittsburgh very good against the run as well. So you know what their game plan is going to be. I mean, it's the same game plan that most defenses have against the Titans. You don't want to get killed by Derrick Henry. I mean, that's basically what defensive coordinators are doing. We've seen it all season long. Derrick Henry, at times, it doesn't really matter what you do. He just runs right through you. I think certainly probably going to be the stiffest challenge of the season for, number one, the offensive line, but number two, Derrick Henry, to get things going. Not saying he can't, because I don't really count Derrick Henry out from doing anything right now with the way that he's playing. But certainly going to be a challenge in the running game on Sunday with the talent that Pittsburgh has on defense, number one. But number two, how much attention they're going to focus on trying to stop the run and limit Derrick Henry's effectiveness in that game.
Right, and then can you take shots at all? Can you stretch them out vertically at all? Now that's the Titans are obviously a big play-action team, but they've been comfortable setting up. I mean, Tannehill has been so comfortable with his protection. And even on plays where he has to go to his second, third read, he's been able to stand in there and know he's getting protection. So in this matchup, now without Lawan, I mean, I would think that even, up the clock up in Tannehill's head has got to be different this week than it has been. I mean, that's just natural. So can you – because that helps a running game. If you can show somebody something, hey, we're going to send Khalif Raymond at you and take a shot, you got to be able to – you got to be able to have time to set up to throw those passes. So it's a really interesting situation. The receivers have to win, and I do think that it's big for the Titans to get Corey Davis back. I think it's big for the Titans to get Mykole Pruitt back for the running game too, because, yeah, we're back to last week. You had a great called shot. Henry's going to break one. He broke a few, especially two, one huge run and then the big pass play. But this is a week where you're probably back to take the two, take the three, hope that by the fourth quarter it's more like 4 and 5 on those. I think there's going to be a lot of tough physical runs in this game for Derrick Henry, but the Titans are not going to stray from that.
No, they're not. And like you said, a lot of what Derrick Henry's, I guess, kind of mystique and legend has been built off of, by the time you roll around in that third and fourth quarter, if you're the Titans and you can keep the game, either within reach or you've got a slight lead in the fourth quarter, it's just hard to tackle that guy consistently once you've gotten through that long of the game. I mean, you've tried to tackle him, 23, 24 times at that point if you're a defense. And at some point, you're just like, man, I don't know if I can do this anymore. I'm tired. Like, that's the difference, I think, between Derrick Henry and pretty much every other back in the NFL. Like, that happens with all backs to a certain degree. But Derrick Henry, when you're 6'3", 250, it packs a little bit of a different punch that way.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of who would be less enjoyable. There really aren't that many just big backs really anymore in the NFL, let alone the big back who, can run 22 miles an hour. But, yeah, it does. It's an advantage they have that even teams who like to run the ball out there don't have that same thing, where he's punishing you. Now, the flip side of that is you also don't want to wear him out during the course of a year and all that stuff. But so far – it doesn't seem to be a problem.
Pretty good.
Maybe at some point it will be, but I guess it – I mean, look, they did a good job last week. They've got him under the NFL record pace now, and they got Jeremy McNichols some nice plays. So I would look for more of that too, the idea of take 22 off the field and hit them with a run play they're not expecting. But, yeah, this game – I think if it works out well, he's in that 20 to 25 carry range, and then it looks a little bit better once you get to the fourth quarter.
Now, we haven't seen a whole lot of, the gadget stuff yet from the Titans. Now, they did go in Wildcats the other day on third down in overtime to win the game. And that was pretty cool, pretty risky, I think, by Arthur Smith. But we haven't seen a whole lot of the, hey, here's a jet sweep to A.J. Brown, or hey, here we're going to toss the run a toss play to Jonnu Smith out of the backfield. Do you think we see a little bit more creativity from Arthur Smith this week against Pittsburgh, given the situation they're in right now on the offensive line?
Maybe. I'm sure they'll have maybe a special teams, you know, trick play. Of course, that was a huge part of that win over Houston 2 years ago, was the Kevin Byard to Dane Cruikshank thing. They did have Jonnu Smith in the backfield at least one play.
They did.
Last week, which I'm sure the entire defense was like, uh-oh.
And I think Derrick Henry
watch
was
81.
Yeah.
But, you know, they didn't go to him. But, yeah, I'm sure they've got – you know, I think every week you probably have some stuff in. You don't always use it. But this might be one of those weeks where you have a couple things, special things that you might need to use, you know, if the matchups aren't going your way, which certainly is possible. And this is going to be easily the best test of this offensive line.
So we've talked a lot this week about Mike Vrabel and the coaching decisions that he's made, the brilliance of the too many men on the field against Houston that bought them some extra time and ultimately had enough time left on the clock to go tie the game and then ultimately win it in overtime. Where does Mike Vrabel rank right now in terms of the coaches in the NFL? We're going to discuss that on the other side of the break. But first, hope, health, and connection during these unsteady times. It's never been more important for all of us to have these in our lives, but it's even more important for our children and teens. So please join STARS for an important virtual campaign. Cherish the hope, health, and connection of our young people. This six-week campaign will launch on Monday, October 19th, and run until Tuesday, December 1st, which is Giving Tuesday. Please follow the campaign and celebrate all the incredible ways STARS provides hope, health, and connection within our community. All proceeds raised will go directly to their school-based prevention and mental health counseling services, as well as their intensive outpatient adolescent treatment program. To learn more, please go to starsnashville.org. That's starsnashville.org. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Make sure you join us on Saturday, November 14th to support STARS by running, walking, or boogieing for the Nashville Striders' 20th annual Shelby Bottoms Boogie 15K and 5K Run Walk. Powered by Enterprise Rental Car, this event is perfect for the avid runner as well as the casual jogger, and it's on the certified course in the heart of Shelby Bottoms Park. You can also show your support and participate virtually. That's up to you. That's Saturday, November 14th for the Nashville Striders Shelby Bottoms Boogie to benefit STARS and powered by Enterprise Rental Car. For more information, please visit starsnashville.org. That's starsnashville.org. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And, Joe, it was an interesting conversation we had a couple segments ago with Dennis Kelly, Titans offensive tackle. And we were talking about, you know, the play that everyone's been talking about all week with the too many men on the field for the Titans against Houston on Sunday that bought them some extra time. Ultimately, we know what happened. That time was used for Ryan Tannehill and the Titans to drive down the field, tie the game against Houston, and then ultimately win it in overtime. And that, I think, is just it's a tangible thing that you can point to with Mike Vrabel making a big difference in the game. But I think he's done an outstanding job this year, given the circumstances that they've gone through and just given the team that they have and some of the adjustments that they've made of, you know, obviously 5-0, you're doing something right as a head coach. But he has been very impressive to me this year with what he's been able to get out of this team, even though there have been some pretty obvious deficiencies on defense.
So you're impressed that he messed up and sent out Josh Kalu and got
a
penalty?
I'm impressed.
I've got no confirmation he meant to do that. You know, that's
not going to get that confirmation either.
I have, you know, that's the dirty dozen defense of the Titans.
Yeah, Jonathan Joseph's face was confirmation enough for me.
That was pretty good. Yeah, and of course, similar thing with the Jets 2 years ago. You had the same thing. Dennis Kelly mentioned that, actually, the Belichick, Vrabel back and forth with the clock, you know, late in that playoff win too. So, he talked about at the beginning of his Titans tenure sitting there and going through, like, watching ends of games and stuff and, you know, trying to test himself on, like, all these different scenarios with the clock, things like that. I mean, those are the little things that win games. Clock management, some really good coaches – like great football minds have been betrayed by their clock issues, you know?
Yes.
I think of a guy who used to coach LSU, man, who now coaches Kansas. But
the eater of the grass.
What's that?
The eater
of
the grass.
There you go, yeah. you know, that stuff is important. And Vrabel's a huge believer in the, you know, the double up thing too. If you're getting the ball, you know, at the beginning of the third quarter, trying to get scores on both sides of that. Yeah, he's been – look, it's funny because so much from right now, if you go back exactly 1 year, you wouldn't believe we're saying stuff we're saying right now.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go back 2 years, you wouldn't – I think a lot of people wouldn't believe that we're talking about Derrick Henry like we're talking about. He was battling Deion Lewis to be the primary back of this team. A year ago, this was the worst offense in the NFL, arguably. They're on pace to give up an NFL record in sacks, 2-4, couldn't figure anything out. And, of course, in the course of that, and even when they started turning things around last year with Vrabel, it was a lot of, why did you go? Why didn't you go? Why didn't you take those points? What is that trick play? Do you hate Brett Kern and want him to be killed? You know, a lot of, I mean, there was a whole bunch of, like, a string of these late game things that we kept asking about every week. And sometimes it didn't cost them. Sometimes it did. There was the 4 field goal misses for Cairo Santos against Buffalo. He trotted him out for a 50-some yarder. So it's not like it's just been this smooth, like, ascent to coaching greatness, but he's getting a lot of respect around the league. And you look at the overall picture, and it's hard to look at that hire when they fired Mike Mularkey after winning a playoff game and not think that it has been a big-time hire for the Titans.
Yeah.
It has been.
It has. And, yeah, I'll be honest, like, I had my questions about it when they made that move. I was like, okay. Let me get this straight. You've made the playoffs for the first time in how long? You've won a playoff game for the first time in how long? And you're firing the coach? Interesting. And that's a big risk to take. But I think it's obvious at this point it's been the right move made for the Titans. So I'll ask you, Joe, and it's difficult to do this, I think, at the NFL level because there's a lot of different things you got to take into account. I mean, there's the situation. There's how's the roster built. A whole bunch of different things that matter in this discussion. But if I'm asking you right now, like, where Mike Vrabel is in terms of like, coaches in the NFL, you don't have to give me, like, hey, he's the sixth best coach in the NFL. But where do you think he ranks in the echelon of coaches right now in the National Football League?
Yeah, it's a tough question, like you said. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. You know, it's – I mean, even in this division, there's sort of this, you know, rivalry thing with Frank Reich, who, and of course Vrabel was a candidate for that job too. And I think a year ago, again, like I heard a lot of like Frank Reich is the rising star of young NFL coaches. And I think now more people would look at Vrabel for that. Of course, again, it sort of, it helps if you have a quarterback who can come in and all of a sudden do the things that Ryan Tannehill has done for this team, right? So that acquisition, such a huge part of that. I mean, do you have a tier that is like a separate tier for anybody who's won the Super Bowl? I mean,
probably.
So how many of those guys do we have? Obviously, you probably have – what do you have?
I mean, Belichick's on a tier by himself.
Right, you have his own tier for Belichick. I mean, I think Andy Reid is, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I think John Harbaugh is excellent. I mean, Sean Payton and Pete Carroll. You know, there's some people who are just flat out more established. I mean, even you got John Gruden. John Gruden's done it and is coming back and is doing really well. So I don't know. I don't have a ranking for him, but there's also, yeah, I mean, Mike Tomlin this week. Where is he? I mean, I think if you have Belichick on his own tier, Tomlin also Super Bowl winner, consistent excellence over a long period of time with different groups of players. That's part of it too, I think, is can you be a winning coach through the cyclical ups and downs of roster management. And there just hasn't been enough time right now for us to know that with Vrabel. I suspect that he can, but it's very early on that. But these guys who have been through all these, some of that is because they have good GMs or they are good GMs with Belichick. So they've been able to handle those cycles and not have the huge dips. But longevity in the NFL as a coach is very hard. You know, it's just, even just like the people getting sick of a voice, whatever, however effective it may be, people get sick of a voice. So that'll be a test. But I would say he's definitely one of those young up-and-coming coaches who is really promising, has had a really promising start. Frank Reich, I still think, is also really good. You know, obviously people go gaga over the Shanahan, you know, McVay crew. And I think they're both really good. And Matt LaFleur, your guy. I mean, it's amazing to think. I mean, Vrabel already has already has turned out, you know, an OC who is has had a lot of winning in the NFL with a storied franchise, and he's about to probably turn out another one.
Probably so.
Kind of amazing to be this young in your head coaching career and have a tree like that, and have any kind of tree, you know? So I don't have a great answer on ranking. I will rank him higher than Matt Patricia.
Really?
I will definitely. Yeah. You know,
we had somebody text in on the text line the other day, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and said, next year, Titans offensive coordinator Bill O'Brien, which we've talked about a little bit, Titans defensive coordinator Matt Patricia. That would be something.
Oh, my goodness. Imagine that. That would be all the New England, the New England family right there. I think there's a good chance that Patricia joins O'Brien as available.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Austin texts in, Mike McCarthy on a different deal because of his Super Bowl? I'm not buying that.
Yeah,
I probably wouldn't buy that either.
No, I thought of that. Yeah, you know.
Going well for Mike McCarthy so far in Dallas.
It's not. Now, he does have the title. That's one of those things, too, where it's like, so you have that. You can't take the ring away from him, but you could say, man, they've won one ring with that quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so it almost turns into a negative. I mean, how good, what do we think about, like, Bruce Arians? I mean, I think there's, like, how many coaches in this league are bad? Like, I think Ron Rivera is a really good coach. I like Anthony Lynn.
How many? Say how many is bad?
Yeah, how many bad coaches
are
there in the NFL?
Okay, so it's Adam Gase is at the top of the pyramid.
Pretty bad. Yep.
He's at the top of the pyramid. Then you got Matt Patricia.
He's pretty bad, too.
He's pretty bad.
It gets thin, man.
It starts getting thin.
Like, I like Brian Flores. I think he's got a lot of potential.
Has your opinion changed on Mike Zimmer based solely on the calls that he made in the Seattle game?
He's bottom. Boy, he's bottom of the pyramid. Like, he's borderline.
I can't get over the end of that game.
Joe has soured on my memory.
Doug Marrone, maybe?
Made no sense. See, that's the thing. Like, yeah, so there's a great example when you talk about coaches. Yeah, some people would say that, and he'll probably get fired. Well, of course, we keep saying that every year he doesn't. I don't think he is a bad coach. You know, I mean, I think you look at all the crap that's gone on there, I think he's actually held it together okay. But, you know, now they're heading in that direction, and it's probably it for him, but like
too early to rule.
Vic Fangio,
Joe Judge, too early. Yeah. Anthony Lynn is he's good. I think he's okay.
I think he's fine. I mean, he would be like Cliff Kingsbury. You know, he's like the young hotshot guy. I mean, they're 4-2. You know,
I'm shocked by that. By the way,
well,
I mean, he could win at Texas Tech.
They're going to be 5-2 this
year. Yeah, but Texas Tech is like you go 7-5, you know, you're doing all right there. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's way more coaches we would consider good than bad in this league. And there are only a few that are just bad that are going to be fired for sure. Vrabel's definitely moving up the list. When you go to the AFC Championship game and now you're sitting there 5-0 and you're making these moves that everybody's talking about. How often do we talk about during a given week, like, wow, that coaching move? Usually we're talking more about stuff like Mike Zimmer's end of game botching of a win he should have had.
It's usually if you're talking about a coach and like a decision they made in the game, it's probably not a good thing. Usually.
Yeah.
But with Vrabel lately, it's been a good thing.
I mean, like Doug Peterson in Philly, okay? I mean, he's got to be probably in some trouble here. I still think that's the greatest coach game I've ever seen, that Super Bowl against New England. Completely just off the rails aggressive. And it, I mean, you know, when it works, it's brilliant. But still, like, I think that was the only way to win that game, you know?
I will say this. He's like Bill O'Brien with a Super Bowl. Like, that's pretty much
Doug Peterson?
Yes. He's Bill O'Brien with a Super Bowl. Like, a good coach, successful, will get you some wins. But, he's like, he's playing with a bad roster, obviously. He's not, like, Carson Wentz has little to nobody to throw it to, and the running game's on and off. Their defense is awful, so
he's got to get rid of the visor. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the visor look for like Kirby Smart. I think looks ridiculous with that visor he wears at Georgia.
I agree.
Coaches should be, it's either wear a hat or don't go halfway. The visor I can't do,
except Lane, because you know Joey Freshwater's got that.
Joey
that
Freshwater got the visor
hair flopping over the visor, right? He was a visor, doesn't he?
I think
Lane?
So. Yeah.
Yeah, nice. I'm with you. I've never been a visor.
Nice piece of cloth he had as the mask a couple weeks ago too against Alabama. Lane had some fashion statements.
Now there's a great coach right there, Lane Kiffin.
That's, speaking of great coaches, his NFL. Remember when he was coach of the Raiders?
And he was like 12.
Well, he was, and he attempted, I think, literally a 76-yard field goal with Sebastian Janikowski. And I was like, huh.
I remember
that ball was 15 yards short. Shocking.
I remember Al Davis when they fired him, just annihilating him.
He did.
Gosh, how long ago was that? Man.
I mean, it was pre-Tennessee.
Like, it was like 07
or
08.
06, 07, yeah.
Incredible.
Pretty incredible to think about. When we come back, there are a couple key players that have been struggling defensively that we're used to seeing play very, very well. Why do we think that is? We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.